Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, we look and sound different today.
We do. Yeah. We've grown appendages in the shapes of other people.
Well, it's the season. It's every company has like a fun Christmas party at the end of the year.
Yes.
We didn't do that.
Yes.
Instead, we decided to have a fun little party here in our studio, which, by the way, this is the first time I've actually ever used this Gotham West studio here in Brooklyn. And where I'm sitting, which is like in our fun, brand new studio that I never actually get to use. You got to use it in Folktown.
Yes. If you've listened to Folktown, that's where the episodes were all done. And the last episode, all of us were hanging out in the studio and it was awesome.
Yeah. It's a vibe in here. But anyway, we have a little for for the season, for the in honor of the, it's our like little Christmas party, sort of.
It is, and it's, we're going to be talking about my favorite movie, but we brought on two people that you've already heard on this podcast that are big parts of Gotham West, so go ahead, guys. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Danielle.
Yeah, also from Folktown.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, and other things in my life, but I don't know, that's...
Runs like, your life, basically.
Yeah, pretty
you
much,
You exist
yeah.
because of Dale.
Yeah, kind of, something like that, and then...
Can I do the reveal?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is my favorite Christmas movie, and I'll get all the hate for it. I don't care, but we are doing Love Actually.
No, I don't think you'll get a lot of hate for it, but also it was one of my first Christmas gifts to my wife, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had never seen it until you.
On DVD. It's nothing is as romantic as like, here, I got you Love Actually on DVD.
So. I don't know. That's pretty romantic, especially because that was like early 2000s romance.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent now of like a thoughtful book, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what I should be buying for Christmas?
Yeah, I'll help you with that one. Don't go rogue on that one, Tom.
All right. Thank you.
I got your back.
And Kyle, I know this isn't Star Wars. That was the last time I think you hung out with
this
us.
This isn't a Star Wars?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't have
Why
to go.
Why am I here?
He thought this was the Star Wars Christmas special with the creepy Chewbaccas.
Oh, my God.
I was led to believe that.
We talked about that at some point, right?
We talked about it during the Star Wars episode.
Yeah. Have you still haven't seen that, right, Amanda?
No, you told me it would give me nightmares.
Yeah. I mean, don't watch it. But I feel like don't sit down and watch. Kyle, have you seen it?
I actually have not. So
really?
I think maybe we will. We're going to have to watch it.
Let's do it. We're all going to be together around Christmassy time. We should all watch
it
together.
We got to find it. We're going to watch it.
But no,
we're going to cry together.
But that's bad for Amanda because Amanda has only ever seen A New Hope, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the one you saw. Okay. And so you're going to go right from A New Hope right to Star Wars Christmas special?
Chronological order.
But I've seen the shows.
Okay, yeah. The shows are different. Yeah, okay. That's fair.
What movie are you talking about?
There's a Star Wars Christmas special. That's not what this episode is about.
Oh. No.
We just went off on a tangent because Kyle likes Star Wars.
This is Star Wars, actually.
Yeah. But oh, when was the first time you saw the movie, Amanda? Love Actually, to be clear.
When it came out in 2003, my best friend from high school and I went and saw it in the theaters.
Oh, wow.
And I was obsessed. I'm no exaggeration. I have not had a Christmas since 2003 where I did not watch Love Actually.
Okay. But was it a popular movie in theaters when it came out?
No.
Okay.
No.
Were you the only person in the theater seeing it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't remember. But Kyle, you've seen this, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
100%. Okay. I was going to say, you're going to be real useless
That's
today
good.
If you haven't.
Oh, no. I mean, I still will be.
Well, this sort of kicked off an entire genre, right? Because there was all those other movies they made, like New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day, and I don't know, is there a St. Patrick's Day one too? Like,
there's
hope not.
There's a lot.
Not yet.
Which I think they stopped doing it, but the whole reason they did it, because Hollywood likes to do this, is they figured out they can like only hire Julia Roberts for like a day or like 2 days worth of shooting and then knock out all her scenes in like a big movie that stars all these big stars, but pay them like a small day rate for their little scenes. And then they get to be like, oh, look at all these people in the movie.
Which, it works.
Yeah, it does. But I like this one because it's original and it was all like British actors and actresses and
a couple American ones. Which,
yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah. And it's funny because doing the research for this, one of the fun facts is all of the American actors. I guess we could just jump into Tom. Do you want to first go down the nerd rabbit hole of who wrote and produced and directed and all that kind of stuff? It's a Richard Curtis.
Oh, I don't know any of this. No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this is written and directed by Richard Curtis, who... he's pretty well known for, he went on to do with a lot of the same actors in this, but he did Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, Bridget Jones' Diary, all Bridget Jones' Edge of Reason, Bridget Jones Has Babies. I don't know what Bridget Jones does everything, but he also did War Horse, Yesterday, and Mr. Bean. But a lot of those actors are in Love Actually. Especially from the Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, and Bridget Jones' Diary. But all of the American actors in this movie, he wrote hand wrote love letters to each of them and sent them to them asking them to be in the movie.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
I know.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
That is adorable.
I didn't know.
It's pretty adorable.
I didn't know this ahead of time, but pretty much any British movie that I know, he directed. As far as like all these like Bridget Jones's Diaries, he did Mr. Bean. I'm repeating everything you just said, but yes, I didn't realize that was all him. That's very interesting.
I know.
That's a really fun fact.
But it has a lot of vibes. Like he even rewrote a scene from the Four Weddings and a Funeral and put it in Love Actually with different characters.
Yeah.
All
right. Do you want to go through, because there's all the different stories. God.
There's
and I'm curious what everyone's favorite story is.
I was just going to say,
do you know how many stories there are? Because I always forget how many there are, but I love.
Yeah, 10 all of stories. Them. Originally, there were 14. Two got cut out of the script. They shot 12, but ultimately cut two from the final movie. So,
what made it to
Scream was 10. Yeah, there was 14 to start.
Wait. So what are the other stories like? And also, were they?
I don't know.
Do we know? Like, was it filmed?
Yeah, they were filmed. But no, I don't know what they are.
Oh, wow.
Also, do you know at the very end of the movie where they're all kind of at the airport, are all of the stories intertwined? Like at some point, there's like a character in each of the stories? They kind of, there's some kind of connection.
There's an overlap to how like the different love stories all connect people. And all those airport scenes were shot with hidden cameras. So they're all
authentic.
Yeah, they're completely authentic. Yeah.
In the beginning when it shows all the different. I love that. The opening scene of Love Actually. It gets me every time.
Guerrilla style.
It sets me up for the movie.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that. These are all really great fun facts.
So I looked up the cut. Storylines.
Okay.
Apparently, it was there was a scene in Kenya and a same sex romance.
Okay.
But the issues they had was that the Kenyan storyline perpetuated stereotypes about hardship.
Okay.
So they felt like it was a little too on the nose, I guess. And the same thing with the same sex romance. It was fell into the trope of tragic endings for LGBTQ plus characters. So they avoided it because it wasn't a good representation.
But for 2003, that's pretty progressive because, I mean, there's only like 20, well, it was about 21 years ago almost now.
Yeah.
But I give them credit because I feel like, you know, that's still when we were having probably some troublesome movies that we can't watch today or aren't as, yeah, it was pretty progressive for 2003 for them. But also sucks that those. Do we know who starred in those scenes?
No.
I wonder who got cut because I mean, everyone else is like a legitimate, like known name actor. So who made the who got?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Well, there's some smaller parts, though, in it, like not with well-known, or at least I didn't know any of the actors in it. Like the smaller little side stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's fair. I mean, a lot of them.
No. Yeah, like there were some that, so maybe those were smaller scenes that were cut.
Or, I mean, I was going to say, I feel like a lot of them also became famous after the fact. Like, you know, Andrew Lincoln was apparently a British actor and then became famous for The Walking Dead after the fact.
This was Colin Firth's first movie.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, for real?
And he kills it.
Yeah, he does.
That's wonderful.
Damn. It was like Keira Knightley's first non-period piece. I'm making that up. I don't know that.
Guys, I lied. It's not Colin Firth's first. Yeah. I'm like, this is Colin.
What?
It's the guy that plays Bilbo Baggins. What's his name?
Martin Freeman.
Oh, Martin Freeman. I'm like, it's someone's first. I should read my notes after I write them.
Wait, this is before The Office?
I believe so. Well, I don't know. Well, movie, because Office is...
Okay, got it. Okay, that's fair. Fair. I'll take it.
Tom, so a movie is a production that's a little... Okay.
It's a little different.
Wait,
was this... Different in the UK. Was this... I just realized, so I got super into this new TV show that just came out, and I could not figure out where this guy was from. Like, could not place his face, but knew I knew him, and I just, this very moment, realized who it was. The kid who plays Sam, Thomas Brody, he's in the new show, The Artful Dodger.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I did not realize.
He's been in, he was in Game of Thrones, right?
He was in The Maze Runner, Game of Thrones.
He's so good. But I just did not realize. Like, it took me until this very moment. I'm like, why is his face so familiar? What have I seen? That's what it's from.
And Nanny McPhee. We can't forget that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I've never seen that. So I wouldn't know. This is where I, like, the face. Like, his face, he did not age at all. He just is the same, just, like, older.
Yeah.
And... Oh, that's so funny. Sorry.
I love his storyline. But yes, 10. And it, all right. Do you guys have a favorite? I have a favorite.
I want to hear yours because I also have a favorite.
Well, it's hard because I love all of them, obviously, especially Sam. Sam's storyline is a little kid falling in love and the way his dad just lost his wife, but lets his son just have love and like be in love without taking that from him, I think is like the most selfless parenting love story ever. But I love the Colin Firth one with him and Aurelia, and
that is very sweet.
It's so good. I don't know, I just really love that one because there's the language barrier and it just, I don't know, it was true.
I can get lost very easily because I didn't watch this last week like other
I've
people.
Watched it like three times already. This month.
I think I need to watch it tonight.
Yeah.
So you have Colin Firth and what's the other lady's name?
Lucia Moniz is the actress's name, but her name in the show is Aurelia, and Colin Firth is Jamie Bennett, who's an author.
Okay.
And she's hired as like his housekeeper type person.
Yeah.
Is he the one who he caught his wife cheating?
His girlfriend.
With his brother. Yeah. His brother, right?
I don't know. You know what's really funny is I just rewatching it, I actually was trying to really focus on that scene. I don't think it's ever actually like, I don't know that they ever say who the guy is. Like he's either a friend or he's the brother.
Because
he's at his, I thought he was at his brother's wedding. I thought that's where he went, and then he came home early, and that's when...
You're right. And he said that because he goes to the wedding alone, because his girlfriend says that she's sick.
Yes.
And then, it is his brother. So he returns before the reception to check on her, because he feels bad that she's at home, and he's about to go have fun at the reception, and she's having sex with his brother.
Yes.
Okay. And so then he goes to his French cottage, to write, and his Portuguese housekeeper Aurelia's there, and I just love that scene. I love
very
that
different
story
from Star Wars, Kyle. Sorry.
Very similar, I think.
I mean, it's kind of similar to when Luke was in exile on that planet, and but
fuck
I won't
his
go
sister.
There.
No, that's different.
Yeah,
okay.
Jesus.
All right. What's yours, Dale? I don't know.
So it's funny. I have like two that are. One rips my heart out every time, And the other is just like, I just think it's really cute. And although I don't know if it aged super well, but I still, it's still one of my favorites, is it is the one with the prime minister and the assistant.
David and Natalie.
Yeah. And I just love like the cuteness that is that relationship. I hated when like the president comes into the, which is it Billy Bob?
Billy Bob
Thornton.
Which
makes so much sense now.
It is the most Americanized version of a president. He does it so well.
It really does. Like it's kind of, it's disgusting how well he does it. But that's one of my favorite. I love the way he is.
Yeah.
It like as that character. And then of course, Emma Thompson,
I know.
Like reaching into her husband's jacket looking, I don't remember what she was even looking for, but she finds the necklace and she like the moment of like, oh my gosh, my husband bought me this. And she puts it really quickly back into his pocket and she's so excited to open presents. And then she opens a CD. And it's just like that moment. And then
you should have got a DVD. That's what I. That's much better, apparently.
Well, but then, like, also how she just literally, like, this is the definition of like a mom is how she just pulls herself together so that she can be there for her two kids as they're performing on stage at the
school pageant thing,
Christmas scene, and her kid's a lobster or whatever. Like, just. Ugh. Every time.
Her husband is Alan Rickman, right?
Yes. Okay. And then Mia, so it's Harry, Karen, and Mia. And Mia is the secretary who should be hit by a fucking bus.
Yeah.
Wait, is she? Wait, what? Okay. It's been a while. I should see the movies we're talking about. I figured there would be enough extra people here that I didn't have to. But I know Alan Rickman's into her, but is she into him or is she just leading him on?
She starts it. Yeah.
Okay.
She's very flirting. She's very seductive.
Okay.
Very seductive.
And here's the thing. I am not going to say that that is just her. He 100% goes. Yeah. He had every opportunity to not take part and he went in head first.
Well, also that whole scene where he goes and he's, because she's like, oh, are you going to buy me something? And so he goes to the store with his wife to buy Christmas presents and then walks away from her to go do his own Christmas shopping and then goes to the jewelry counter to buy this necklace for this girl. And then the Mr. Bean. That's such a great, like, it's such a funny
scene.
It's
so good.
It's so good. And then, like, he does leave without the necklace, which means he had to go back to get the necklace at another point because he does get the necklace.
Yep.
Because the wife comes over before Mr. Bean is done doing that whole scene. And so, like, you know, obviously he knew what he was doing.
All right. Who's up next?
Kyle.
All right. No, I'll go. No, it's really hard. They all touch a, you know, something fun for it. Like, I really like the Bill Nye's character, Billy Mack.
The whole
storyline and, like, him trying to get the music and the manager and, like, you know, that love, like, friend love.
Yeah,
buddy love. And stuff, that buddy love. But I do think my favorite one is definitely when Qui-Gon Jinn and his
I knew you were going to say that.
The Liam Neeson one, Daniel that. And the... Like, that one's just really cute. And it's just like, Although I do have a story about the Martin Freeman stand-in.
Oh, wait. All right. So we, again, for the audience's sake, not mine.
That's
the one where they're stand-ins.
Yeah, they're on body a doubles set. for a porno movie.
Okay. And so they're just like laying on top of each other, almost fully naked.
All different.
Yeah, all different. Yeah. But all the positions. Like, so the funny story
the
is that when we watched
the best.
This, when we watched this for the first time, all the scenes are hilarious because they're like having this awkward conversation.
Yeah.
While all this stuff's like, you know, like
they're doing things,
but it's like all camera angles and stuff. Yeah. So the funny thing is we're watching it. I think it's me and my two brothers hanging out in the living room. We're watching it. Mm-hmm. And that's not the weird part. because it's just a movie. There's nothing weird about it, really.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, I had the remote control in my hand. My dad walked in the room, and I remember changing the channel because it was just awkward. And I was just, I don't know. I was like, I don't know. I gotta turn the channel. It's weird, which made it even weirder. My dad's like, what the hell are you watching? And I remember Henry turned to me. He's just like, what the hell, dude? It's a romantic comedy movie.
But I love how the
knee-jerk reaction.
God. But that's the thing, is like, it's like the Emma Thompson scene of like her crying, and that's fine. Then the moment it switches to semi-porn, then that's when parents walk into the room.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
that's the most awkward time.
On TV, when this is on TV, they usually cut that whole storyline.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not even in the televised version.
We were watching it. Maybe we had it. Maybe it was on HBO. Yeah.
Well, I hope Martin Freeman still gets his royalties if they cut his scenes from the movie.
My precious.
And we have to talk about, if you don't have a favorite, we have to talk about, obviously, Keira Knightley.
Oh, God.
And that whole storyline and how just like.
Can I tell you which? Yeah, that's the storyline I hate. Like, I can't pick one, guys. I love. You love it, don't you?
No, I'm embarrassed.
It's painful. Yes.
I'm embarrassed because that to me was like peak romance to me.
Yes. Okay. Right? Yes. Me too.
Henry, the aforementioned porn watching Henry with Kyle, is my fiance. When we first started dating almost 14, 15 years ago, he lived in Florida. I lived in New York. And I had told him the first night that we had, no, I think it was the second night we hung out, but we were in a bar and he was like, if I get this dart into the bullseye, you have to give me your phone number. And the motherfucker got the dart in the bullseye. Wow. So I gave him my phone number and I told him that the most romantic thing I've ever seen, and I would marry the man who did it if somebody sent me the studio happenings up there. Yeah. Just so you both look up. Santa's here?
Yeah.
And the reindeer.
Pitta-patta.
I told him if any guy ever did that, I would marry him. I think it's the most romantic thing ever. A couple years later, we are officially dating. He sent roses to my job, and the cards in the roses were the cards that Andrew Lincoln is holding up. Okay. And I thought that was so romantic. Yeah. Now watching it as a whole ass adult, what the actual fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. That scene on its own is fine. But if you put it together with the rest of the story, that where like it's his best friend's now wife, where like the wedding, there was a funny TikTok or something, or someone did a skit where it was like, oh, who was that at the door? It was like, oh, it's your best friend. And like, oh, he had cue cards. Like, he planned this. It was like a whole like,
like, he told me he loves me, and then I kissed him.
Yeah, you what?
Say it's carolers.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, that's the other thing too, is like
she lies to her husband.
I mean, yeah, she lies to her husband.
Who's at the door?
I mean, what's funny is this is the entire opposite of Colin Firth's. Like, we're seeing the opposite side of the story of Colin Firth's. Plot where his like wife is cheating on him or girlfriend or whatever it is with his brother or whatever, and then this is the other side of, like, it could have been the same story on both sides. Then and also, I'm sorry, but creepier than all of that is the whole camera thing he does at the wedding where he's like weirdly zooming in on her, and it's like, Jesus Christ, like, this guy needs to take a beat. Like,
I've seen so many forensic files that start like that. So yes,
like, he was obsessed with her.
Yeah.
There was an obsession.
Unhealthy. There. Unhealthy. Yeah.
But she also, in rewatching it, she talks about when she asks him about looking at the footage that he got from the wedding, she brings up the fact after she's like watching it and realizes, like, this is just me. She's like, but you never even talked to me.
That's even weirder.
And so it's like this weird, like, geez, like, you are this into him or this into her, but yet you haven't even.
He just wanted to wear her skin as a coat, I think.
Okay.
So, well, what I really like about that is it's initially watching it. I don't know if everybody else got the same thing, but like when he doesn't want to show the footage, my immediate thought was that it was all of his friend, all of her husband. I thought that was the same sex kind of relationship that they were going to throw in there. So I really thought, like, I was like, oh, well, that's what it's going to be. It's like obvious. Yeah. Like, it's that's what they're going towards. And then when they double dupe you, then it's like, oh, okay. All right. I see this. Yeah. Like, you know, like,
It's such
an interesting thing
too, because like, where does that go? Like after the movie ends, like where does that storyline go? Because it just ends on him confessing his love.
Yeah.
And then he walks down the street like, I did it.
And look at right now people are like reenacting that scene. Like guys are reenacting his like walking scene where he like taps the top of the like underpass that he goes under. And then he like gets really like frustrated and walks around the like stair. It's just the most, you know, it's that scene, but people are reenacting it as like the when a man really loves me thing. And it's like,
Well, the other thing, I mean, to be clear, I think that entire scene makes Alan Rickman's character not the worst guy in the movie.
Well, now like, it does.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes, I agree. Okay, so there's a couple other scenes. One of them is just like, not to get all mushy, one of them is like very close to my life, and that's the Laura Linney scene where she's like taking care of her brother and it's her and she like loves that guy Carl from her office, and that was like very reminiscent of me taking care of my family growing up, and I like remember watching that and being like, oh my god, like I'm never gonna be able to have a life, this is gonna be my life. But that to me showed so many different dynamics of love, like like her love for her brother that like people do not understand, her whole like life is taking care of this person. And then her finally getting this like perfect looking human and just like taking that one tiny little moment for herself to be able to have that little moment. But then it gets interrupted and it's just, God,
it's heartbreaking.
It is so sad.
So the guy, Carl.
Yes.
The actor.
Oh, yeah.
You know who else he played?
In Star Wars.
No. He's the king from 300.
Oh.
Xerxes. He's like the god king.
He's a beautiful
in that movie.
Man.
Not only that, I actually I walked past him in New York City once.
What?
Yeah.
Fun fact.
He looked like the nicest
Centauro.
Person.
Rodrigo.
Yeah.
He's also
in Westworld.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Yes. He's the boyfriend to the girl that gets shot.
Hmm.
And then he comes back.
Yeah, like, he's like the evil.
Yeah.
He's the evil gunslinger, but like the other guy.
Yeah. Can't even remember that. It's been a while since I watched Westworld.
Also, in that storyline, Amanda, I was like, the connection there is Alan Rickman's character is her boss.
Well, Alan Rickman is the central thing that connects everybody.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, okay. So there's a map. I'll send it to you. We can put it on the grams. Everybody connects back to Alan Rickman. Literally everybody.
Because Emma Thompson is the sister to the prime minister,
right? Hugh Grant, yes.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Who, by the way, we never know his name, right? It's just the prime minister?
No, I think I said his name. What was it?
It's
the prime minister. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The prime minister. Crazy.
I mean, also Billy Bob Thornton was the U.S. president.
Oh my God, he was so good. He was so good.
I was gonna.
I actually thought he was a real president. Like I thought they brought in like an ex-president to play the part.
Well, this is what, early 2000s, so it's right after Bill Clinton left office. So he's sort of
because
that was
embodying.
Sort of like the whole like, I mean. Bill Clinton was known for a couple of things, especially late in his presidency. And
playing the saxophone, smoking pot.
Yes. And some other
things. Being married to Hillary?
Yeah.
Making some under the table deals.
Yeah. 2023, we're still making Bill Clinton jokes.
Isn't it incredible, though? Like how it's so true. How different times have come because when just perfect this storyline. Everybody is talking about how fat she is, right? Like, oh, look at her size of her calves. She's so fat. And Hugh Grant is like, what are you like?
Yeah.
I don't think her thighs are fat and her calves. Like, she's gorgeous. She's perfect. And to me, looking at her, she's one of the most beautiful women in the film. Like, she's gorgeous. Yeah. And then, like you said, the Bill Clinton storyline had just happened. And people in Europe were okay with saying, like, no, she's gorgeous. And now we're seeing the other side of it where people are starting to be like, wow, we really did Monica dirty. Like this poor girl was young and preyed upon and she she was the victim in the situation. She was the person that we should be apologizing to. And it just like kind of circles back around to this, because this movie definitely does explore all different types of love. But that's one of the things I loved most about that storyline is like, so she's not 4 pounds. So he's not allowed to be in love with her because he's the prime minister. Are you kidding me?
Right.
They're very superficial. Fit that
perfect image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised. I'm surprised that neither one of you boys said that your favorite was Colin Tony and the American Girls. I thought that would be your favorite story.
Funny.
I think it's funny.
I think it's hilarious. Not a story. I like that actor. He was
I was trying to, I asked you before.
Colin, right? Yeah. Like, he was he was in a show called Traffic Lights.
Who was he?
Or Traffic Light. It was him and David Denman, I think.
He's kind of an odd looking guy.
I think David Denman, who was Roy in The Office. And then the guy who played Nick, the IT guy in The Office for like a couple episodes with the big glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So like it was the three of them with like different states of relationships. And that show I thought was really funny.
Well, Dale and I know him from something much more important, and it's Sanditon. You realize that's him, right?
Gosh. No, but you know what's funny? That's another one where I'm like, the face is so familiar, but why can't I just like place it? Oh my gosh.
He's the guy in Sanditon.
Wait. He's the dad.
Mm-hmm.
Or the uncle, I guess.
Uncle, yeah.
Right, because he's not her dad.
What is that?
Oh, that's so funny. He's so old in that. He aged well, though. Like, he looks very better now than he did when he was younger.
Wait,
It's like a BBC. It's not. Is it BBC?
Yeah.
It's a British show. All
British shows.
It's really good.
Wait, what was the show you were talking about, Kyle?
Midsummer Murders.
Midsummer Murders. Well, the reason.
I love it.
you mentioned something where this is sort of timely. You mentioned. I gotta look this up. Midsummer? Is it?
Yeah, Midsummer. S-O-M-E-R. Like Midsummer, the movie, but like E-R.
Midsummer.
Is it based on the play?
I got it. I found it. Okay.
So there's a lot. There's like, I'm on like season 14. They're all like hour and a half episodes, 7 per season.
Okay.
But like, you see like young Henry Cavill. You see like young, the guy from True Blood.
Wait, which guy?
Bill Compton.
Oh.
It's okay.
But wait,
you see, like, yeah. There's a bunch of that's like the coolest part of it.
But wait, you mentioned the guy who was on The Office, who was like Nick, the IT guy.
Oh, back to that. Yeah.
Was that the same show?
Same show, Traffic Light.
Traffic Light. Okay,
Had nothing to do with them, but yeah, completely different.
The reason I mentioned that is because a lot of people. I gotta find his name. He was also in Veep. But the reason I mention that is because a lot of people are saying that he should play George Santos in the.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
100%.
If you look
He was also in New Girl.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. What was he in?
I think he was a character named Robbie, too.
He was
Nelson
Robbie.
Franklin is the actor's name.
Nelson Franklin. 100%.
Yeah.
If you. George should be
so
called
tall.
Santos coming to town.
Yeah.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
What did you think? Because who are the sexy? I'm using air quotes. Sexy American girls.
There's January Jones. Uh-huh.
Alicia. What's her last name? Hubert.
Cuthbert. Whatever happened to her?
She was in that show New Girl. She was in the show that the guy that plays Coach had to go over there. Yeah, I forget the name of that. But she was in Girl Next Door right after that.
House of Wax.
She came back in The Ranch. That's where she's been till 2020. And then
Happy Endings.
Happy Endings was the show.
I liked that show.
That was a good show, too. Yeah.
And she was on 24.
I really liked Adam Pally.
Okay.
Yeah,
whatever happened to her? I remember her from that one movie, and it's like, she's been in a bunch of stuff. Sorry.
Wait, who was the other girl? There was three girls.
January Jones. Oh, the other one was
Ivana Milicevic. I can never say her last name.
Gesundheit.
Wasn't Denise Richards also in there too?
Yeah, she was eventually.
Well, she was the flip side though. She was one of the people that met with his friend, who was the porn director.
Oh, and Shannon Elizabeth was in there too.
Those two, Denise Richards and Shannon Elizabeth. Were
the ones that met up with Tony.
Okay.
His friend, the porn director.
Gotcha.
I recently did a crossword, and the clue is the type of film that wouldn't have a costume director. And the answer was porno. Well done, New York Times.
That's pretty good.
Oh,
one of my favorite fun facts is the guy that plays Billy Mack, Bill Nighy. He didn't know that he had auditioned for Love Actually. He had no idea. He thought he was auditioning for a rock
That's
movie.
Funny.
That's fantastic.
Very much he was like just like, character. Oh, this is pretty good. And then when he got the job, he's like, wait, what?
But I just love how flighty and just like inebriated he is the whole time. He just doesn't care. I love that guy. Like just his demeanor. And I don't know. I just love that. That's my favorite part of the character. He's just happy to be there.
But that's all the character too, though, because if you saw him in the show that Amanda and I were talking about, he's a completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I mean, he was in Shaun of the Dead, right? Was he Shaun's dad or
yes?
He was also in.
Who was the stepdad?
Stepdad, yeah.
Or something.
Oddly enough, guys, Simon.
He was
Pegg
in
auditioned for this to be Mr. Bean's character.
Ooh. Oh, that's
That would
have been different, but also very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like his demeanor. But I feel like him now would be really good at it.
Yeah.
Like if he were to do that, but like younger Simon Pegg, mm-hmm. I think Rowan Atkinson was the right choice.
I get them confused a lot.
Oh.
Mr. Bean and Simon.
Simon Pegg?
Yeah.
From.
You get them confused?
How do you get them confused? You just, they're British.
Like a 25 year age gap.
I don't know them well.
Well, Simon Pegg's the guy from Shaun of the Dead. He was in. He's in all the Mission Impossibles mm-hmm. now. He became best friends with Tom Cruise.
Got it.
Him, Tom Cruise, Ving Rhames go out all the time for dinner. They go get lunch, get salads.
Tom, I have a nerd fact for you I think you'll like.
Oh.
So the pivotal Emma Thompson crying scene, she said she channeled from her actual marriage, which had ended in infidelity. So they had to shoot that scene 12 times. And the way that they shot the scene, he decided to do it the way that Mike Newell did it in Four Weddings, where he shot it in medium wide. They did not move the camera. And then Emma Watson. Hermione Granger was there.
Yeah.
Emma Thompson just kept walking in the room 12 times in a row and shot it. And it was the only scene they shot the entire day.
Oh,
and, she just kept doing it 12 times in a row, just walking in and sobbing like that. And they said everybody stayed to watch it. And it was like just so emotional. And everybody was like, it was the best feat of acting in the whole movie.
Well, yeah, it is.
She was like pulling from real emotion.
Yeah.
But that whole thing is like, it's absolutely true. Cause like she's sitting there and like it's this scene where it's like she can't, like her emotions are overcoming her. And then she has to like put herself back together. For the sake
also
of
talk
her kids.
About the song that they play.
Oh, wait,
Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
Joni Mitchell,
like
which is the
song,
CD she gets.
And just like as that song is playing and just watching her face, it was like it couldn't have been more perfect.
It was like a good CD together though, I guess, you know, at the end of the day.
You suck. So the other fun fact, Hugh Grant had a fucking hissy fit. He refused to dance. He did not want to dance. He thought the dance scene was so stupid. He thought that the prime minister should be more like serious and straightforward. And obviously that is to me one of the most incredible scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept putting it off. He didn't want to do it. He didn't like the song. It was originally supposed to be a Jackson 5 song. And he was so pissed about it that they didn't shoot it into the final fucking day of the movie. And they only did one shot. And of course, it ended up being the Girls Aloud cover of Jump for My Love. But it was like he thought it wasn't going to happen. And he was like, it would have sucked because he totally thought that that was going to make the whole love story and the scene and everything. But Hugh Grant being a little bitch.
I was going to say, to be fair, though, that scene is one of the reasons why I loved his character.
Yeah.
It kind of like made him more human. Like he wasn't just a prime minister. He has this like fun, quirky little personality that if that wasn't there, I don't know that I would have felt the same way.
Yeah. The character would have been terrible if it like he was funny
would
because
have no
he
dimension
was quirky.
If that was,
But wait, is it me or... Has he come out has something come out recently where he either apologized for it or he was called out for his behavior
He keeps getting called out.
Yeah. He did apologize, but
he did.
he did, because he, I think looking back, he's apologized for a lot of his behavior. He apologized to Julia Roberts for how he treated her during Notting Hill. Like, he apologized to a lot of people. And I think it had to do a lot with the scandals that he went through. But even the prime minister, the actual real prime minister, has had to come out because he gets so much backlash after the movie. They wanted him to be more like Hugh Grant's prime minister, who told the American president to go fuck off.
Yeah.
And he's like, the difference is like, I can't say go fuck off, because there's a tomorrow if I say fuck off to the U.S. There's no tomorrow for this prime minister.
Love Actually's sequel is called War Actually.
There is a sequel.
I saw that.
But it's a 10-minute sequel. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. But they got it was for Red Nose Day, which is something that they've been trying to bring to the States.
Yeah, I did watch it, and I wish that I did it.
Wait, what happens? Can you?
No.
Was it that bad?
You just have to watch it, and then you'll be like,
I don't want to.
No, you're just saying we shouldn't watch it. No. What? Like,
everyone should just go watch it for themselves.
Well, sadly enough, Emma Thompson didn't come back for the sequel because Alan Rickman had just passed.
Yeah.
So she didn't come back out of respect for him, and she didn't want the story to, like, for him to be looked upon poorly because everyone fucking hated his character so much.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm not coming back, because it would not be fair to him. So she didn't come back for that.
I mean, if she had come back, she could have played it up like she left him and divorced him and he was out of the picture and just part of it.
But at the end of the movie, it's very much like they're working it out, like they're working through the problems.
Does she confront him in the movie? I forgot.
No.
She just gets over it.
That's not true. She does kind of. She says there's like that whole at the end of the play. She said, what would you do in this situation? Would you stay because you love him, or would you go because, you know, you love whatever? I don't know the exact line, but that's the only time where they're kind of like, he realizes like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like, I was so stupid. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of that story until the airport scene where you see them. But it's kind of like, is he coming and she's going? Is she coming and he's going? Like, you don't really know.
Yeah, it seems like they've split up. And I mean, that kind of brings to the Daniel, Sam, Joanna, and Carol storyline, which we didn't really talk a lot about, and that's the little kid.
Oh yeah.
Sam. And that little girl that he has a crush on, her voice, that's her actually singing. She's incredible. Yeah.
Amazing.
She's so good. But I just love that he's got a crush on Claudia Schiffer, and he keeps saying, like, oh, you know, someday I'm gonna date Claudia Schiffer. And can I tell you that for some reason, for the longest time, I thought that he actually falls in love with Claudia Schiffer, like Claudia Schiffer plays herself, until I realized that, like, she's called Carol in the movie. So it's not Claudia Schiffer. It's just a woman who looks exactly like Claudia Schiffer, because it is Claudia Schiffer.
That's funny.
But that's kind of like
they did something like similar in Ocean's 12, where Julia Roberts, they were like, oh, she kind of looks like Julia Roberts. Like, they just, like, the actor, it's very meta, where the character is supposed to just look like the actress who is in the same world universe.
It works.
Spoiler alert for Ocean's 12.
No.
Oh, gosh. You know, Keira Knightley was only 18 years old when she did this movie.
Yeah, married at 18?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I don't know if I watched a TikTok or I read something where they were talking about when you dive into that storyline, and it's like, for starters, she was very young, so she was like 18 when she got married, and the guy is supposed to be older than her, but then they also were like, that makes the friend being in love with her even creepier.
Oh my God,
because he's in love with an 18-year-old.
Clamoring.
And so it's like this weird, like, but they also pick apart a lot of, I mean, people today pick apart a lot of the storylines, even the storyline with, I'm not going to remember names now. Is it?
Oh, wow. I'm trying.
Brains.
Which storyline?
Colin Firth and
Aurelia.
Yes.
Oh.
That storyline, because she's technically an employee of his. And the whole thing is like, he's paying her, and then he, like, wants to be with her, wants to sleep with her, and he can't even speak. Like, he can't speak to her. There's a huge language barrier. And it's like, but it takes away all the, like, actual...
the romance.
Yeah, like, clearly that's not where it was. And she very much was into him as much as he was into her. But the argument was that, how would he know that? And he just, like, pursued it anyway. And then went to her country and, like, pursued marriage with her. And, like, this whole, like, crazy. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they like pick apart a lot of that stuff.
Well, I feel like all these storylines can flick from, oh, that's romantic, to, oh, this is a predator.
Yeah.
With just whether or not she's into it. I mean, that's pretty. Wait, which, speaking of which, it's all, are all the storylines, I'm trying to think now, are all the storylines men pursuing women? Is there any role reversal thing there? Role reversal. Oh, what year is this? Bit.
Just the Laura Linney one.
Yeah, the Laura Linney one. The Carl one. Yeah.
That's a little.
But she's just sort of like sitting there, like, I like him, but like she's not pursuing it until, right?
And at the very end, Keira Knightley pursued Andrew Lincoln divorce? For like 3 seconds. Down the street.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Yeah. I mean, but also the Alan Rickman, like she's she's definitely the one that's like starting it, and then he's like, ooh, yeah.
But she's a bad, but she's the villain in that situation, because
I don't know that she is the villain. I think she's just a single woman who was into her boss and went for it, didn't care that he was married, and he was like, yeah, I'm into this.
But do they paint her as being like the villain, or is it just like, oh, well, she fell in love with two, it's just not her fault.
In the beginning, yeah, yes, but then he's complicit. Yeah. And once he's complicit, you're kind of like, this is a power struggle.
Yeah.
She's a lot younger, attracted to his power. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And she kind of like is flirting around. How did he shut her down right away?
Yeah.
You know, she might have tried one more time, but I feel like it would have been a closed door. Like, I don't think it would have gone any further. And she'd probably just move on to the next guy.
The other guy in the office that Laura Linney wants.
You know, because he wasn't like high up on the
chain. And they also so that whole storyline, they had a test ending. So it was like the way that they had it ending up was like the initial version people got really pissed off of in the screenings, and they were like, okay, then they asked him to be more clear about, where does this end up? Do they ever get back together? And so he wrote an alternate ending to that that shows that they never, ever, ever hook back up again. And he was like, be careful what you wish for. And eventually it ended up in this kind of precarious, where like, we don't know if they ever hook up again, which I kind of like.
Yeah, because it kind of leaves it.
Yeah, a little open-ended.
To your imagination, yeah. Mm.
This movie has been redone 4 times. What? Have you seen that?
No. Like for other languages or something?
Yeah. So there's...
Okay. That makes sense.
The first two came in 2007. There's a Dutch film called Love is All. And then India did Salute to Love. And then Poland did it in 2011 with Letters to Santa. And the most recent is Japan's It All Began When I Met You from 2013. Come on, guys.
Wow.
That's great.
I guess. Well,
do you like any of the... like I said, not they're not even spinoffs, because like they're just like stealing the concept of that. Like, are there any of those you actually like? Because I feel like none of them were good.
So it's not that I don't like them, but also more to the television side of it, a lot of television shows have kind of picked up this vibe, and I don't remember the name of the show, but it's come out recently in the past few years, and it was a bunch of different relationships and different types of relationships, and they went over the course of one season, and the next season is a bunch of different relationships. So very similar to this vibe,
Was it called Easy or something like that?
No, but I've heard that one is very similar too. There's so many that have borrowed on this overlapping different types of love that come together. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, it's a really easy thing to replicate because everybody is having a relationship of some sort. Some way in their lives.
Let me throw out a few. So there's He's Just Not That Into You, which was early on. That was 2009.
Wait, that's a spinoff from Love Actually?
Well, it's very similar. Yeah.
It's similar in the concept of like all these intertwining.
The format.
Connect. Yeah. Like they're
Little
micro stories.
Yeah. I loved that.
It's a book. So
Yeah.
There was also New Year's Eve.
Valentine's Day.
The other one, the only one that's sort of on this in the same vein that I'm like, I'm actually okay with this one was Crazy Stupid Love.
Oh yeah,
that's
me
the one
too.
With Steve Carell and
I'd say that's a myth. It's like because there's really only two storylines. Three storylines. Three.
Yeah. Because there's obviously there's Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell. Well, that's not a
buddies.
Buddies. It's a buddy comedy.
Buddy comedy.
Well, would you say The Holiday is like this?
Yes.
And I fucking
wait. Oh,
I mean,
whoa,
I don't
okay.
think there's
yeah,
enough.
No.
Like, I don't think either of those is enough cross thing.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, like Crazy Stupid Love. It's like the connections are already pretty clear. Not like yeah. right until the end, until you like, you know, until you yeah. get to the point where the reveal is she's his daughter. And
yeah.
And I think that's it's like a fun reveal, but it's like a single quick
I mean,
reveal.
Someone's
actually,
never seen that movie, that way you described it, it sounds very weird.
It's the daughter.
Yeah. You don't know until the end that
and
it's actually
the other
daughter.
Guy's daughter.
Oh my God,
the other guy's yeah. daughter.
Wait, but
and then the guy, Kevin Bacon.
oh my yeah, God. So there's the other storyline there.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, the babysitter.
Julianne
anyway,
Moore.
Okay, sorry.
That's the wife.
Oh, that's right.
Marissa Tomei.
What were you going to say? You forgot? Okay.
Well, Valentine's Day, that has Taylor Swift in it, just saying, from 2010.
I know, but
Taylor Lautner.
And the Tay-Tay.
Don't forget Wolf Boy.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't agree that The Holiday isn't in the same.
But it's only two stories.
It's not.
It's not,
there's
though.
More stories?
There's more stories.
There's more stories.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's stories within stories, just like in Love Actually.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe
there's
it is.
Smaller stories,
yeah.
but there's still other stories.
Well, then I would argue that format works better. Because Love Actually is the only one I feel like that really hit home with every yeah. single story. The New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, like, they were there. There wasn't much substance to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like
you don't really.
Like Valentine's, like, okay, yeah, the Taylors are together. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both cheerleaders. Great.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think like, you could, like, dive into their characters the way you could with Love Actually
exactly.
or
right.
The Holiday.
Like,
or
there. It's very surface.
Yeah.
It's very
well, that
vapid.
Was the point.
Yeah.
Like, the reveal, yeah. I think it's New Year's, is, I forget which one, but Bradley Cooper and Julie Roberts,
yeah.
right? On the plane, and then. He goes back to his husband. I forget where she ends with that. But it's like those yeah. reveals of like this
very
character
surface.
With this character. This like yeah. those were like all they were trying to get that, but I don't think it hit that.
Well, the
I
characters think. Didn't really get developed very much in
no.
there either.
Yeah.
You don't really
yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
I had
like,
one
Love
more.
Actually had the good characters. You know why? Because it's
why
they were British.
yeah.
Tried to do it with Americans.
Yeah.
So
this is what we do. We messed it up.
This
with
is
a bunch of Billy Bob Thorntons.
That's me. I liked that character. It was very accurate.
Yeah.
So one for me that is another top five probably favorite mm-hmm. Christmas movie. You know the connection to the characters right up front, but that has that emotional charge that Love Actually has, where a lot of these other ones don't, except for The Holiday. I'll agree with that. Is The Family Stone. So like that is a billion
yes.
relationships within one family.
Yes.
And that is like one of the most beautiful Christmas movies because it explores, it's based around Christmas, but that isn't the center theme.
No,
and
love
it's,
is.
Love.
Core
is, yeah.
is at the core. It's that's such a, I love
it. It's a beautiful movie.
That movie, though,
very
I will
movie.
Say that movie rips my heart out every time
every
I watch
time.
It. Every single time. Like, I think I'm like, I'm good. I can watch it. And then I watch it. I'm like, why did I do this?
Why did I do this?
It's so good, but it's so sad. So good.
Yeah. So that's my last throw in. But yeah, I will forever die in the hill that Love Actually is one of my favorite Christmas movies because it is, while problematic, a lot of the stories are. I don't know. I just, it's so much about love and the different types of love and how love can be good, bad, and different. Just, I don't know. It explores, to me, all aspects yeah. of love and relationships.
Well, yeah, when does it start? When does the... Because in the beginning of the movie, there's like a date on the screen where it's like, it, you know, X amount of days till Christmas.
Oh, I don't remember.
Anyone remember?
I haven't done my yearly watch.
I didn't think it did. I yeah. thought it just has the, it's just that they're just talking about at the airport, you never see people.
After that, I just remember because one of the things that's bugged me for so long is as an American, and I've said this a lot recently too, as an American, the thing that always confused me was we tend to like have Thanksgiving and then right after Thanksgiving, like the day after, is like, all right, Christmas season begins. But I always said,
absolutely.
I was like, for 100%, anyone
you're
who's
wrong.
Not American, I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Christmas starts right then.
Yeah, the day.
Yeah.
The day.
No, but
as soon as the turkey is off the table.
But if you're
as soon as the turkey's cold
in my belly.
But if you're like, let's say British, right? Other countries too, but if you're British, you don't have Thanksgiving. So when does it start? December 1st?
Halloween.
That seems
Halloween,
right? Exactly.
November 1st.
So I if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, I think in this movie they establish, like, you know,
5 weeks before Christmas. It starts.
So
when this story begins, 5 weeks before Christmas.
So it is what is our pre-Thanksgiving.
And it's played out in a weekly countdown until the holiday.
See, I was right, sort of. But it wasn't November 1st. It was like, that's like mid-November at that point, right?
Yeah. Or
it's close to the end of November, but it's not exactly.
Yeah, 10 days until the end of November. If my math is correct.
But for what it's worth.
And if it isn't, we'll come for you, Kyle.
For what
November 20th, yeah, to be exact, Tom. In that realm.
Every British person I meet, I introduce myself and then I said, wait, when does Christmas start for you? When does the season start? It's bugged me my whole life. It's one of those things.
And why is it called pudding? What is Yorkshire pudding? It's a
biggie pudding.
Good.
Yeah.
It looks like a fluffy bread.
Is your pudding not liquid? That's it.
Ours is. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for doing
straw?
This one. Yeah. Next time we go back to Hawksmoor, Kyle, you can ask.
Okay. I will. That was actually a quote from Love Actually, I feel
what was?
Like. It was because they all ask Colin how he says words.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you say straw? Straw.
To be fair, when I first became friends with one of my best friends who is British, I would just make her say Harry Potter all the time.
But you would make her
so that but she does it in like British accent, but then she also does it in the American accent, which is 10 times funnier to hear because like it makes us sound like such crude and like gross people the way we say
are.
Words.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
Yeah.
It's
so
gross.
It's like Harry Potter and then
Harry Potter.
Little wizard boy.
Yeah.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah.
Scarface.
Yeah. Scat. What are you doing for the holidays? Anything fun?
Is there hanging out with Kyle?
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. And hanging out with you guys too, aren't we all hanging out?
Yes.
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
An actual Christmas party.
Yeah, we got a nice Airbnb. You should
with mold wine.
Mold wine.
Yes.
Not mold wine.
Wait.
What are you drinking?
Moldy wine. Dale and I watched this thing.
Sense.
Dale and I watched it.
Oh, it's mold wine?
Mold wine.
I think.
Mold
or mold?
Mold.
So you're not talking about
they were
mold
saying,
wine.
I thought they were saying blue wine the whole time.
Oh, glue vine.
It's glue vine, yeah.
There you go.
Glue vine.
That's what
glue
they
vine?
Were saying. And I was like, I don't know what that is.
We watched,
is it blue?
We watched
I don't understand.
We watched a video.
But it was hot.
Yeah.
It's so
glue
good.
Vine.
We watched
that's
a video
what they talked about.
of this couple who went to all the Christmas markets in Europe. Not all of them, but like nine
a
of
lot.
Them. Like nine.
And they
countries.
Went to Krampus Run.
Yeah.
And it looked terrifying. She
I know
looked
they were,
terrified.
They hit people.
Girl,
they hit
Krampus.
They beat her up. They like swatted her with the branches and took off her hat and then like tousled her hair.
Tousled her.
Not a hair tussle.
Yeah. Little tussle.
I got assaulted at Krampus Run.
Yeah. But
all I got was this stinking torn t-shirt.
And a hair tussle.
But I want to make Glühwein for
Christmas.
Okay,
I'll make it.
Christmas.
Let's do it.
How
I'll
do you make it?
You can
it's
buy
very
it
easy.
Pre-made and then
yeah,
heat it
it's
up.
Very, so easy, guys.
Way. Oh, that's not fun.
It has to be in a cute mug.
Wait, where was what?
Obviously,
they...
Dale. Okay. Duh. Yeah. You and I don't consume beverages that aren't in cute mugs.
Touche.
There was one they had where it was like, did it have rum or it had whiskey?
They added some kind of other alcohol.
It's usually
on top
brandy.
Of,
they'll add brandy.
Maybe brandy.
Sometimes dark rum.
Yeah. Oh, it must have been Dark Rum.
You can throw like liquors in there. It'll have everything in it. Yeah. All the booze.
Throw some sugar in there, right?
A little Splenda.
A little Splenda. It's like Splenda gets you drunk like wine.
If Tom made it, it would have Splenda and
Red Bull.
Skinny girl vodka.
Red Bull.
Red Bull.
Red Bull.
Sugar.
I don't want. I don't want glue vine. I want Red Bull vine.
Yeah. I'm gonna make one just for you.
You are like the two of you, actually, Kyle and Amanda, like you guys can both make.
We'll have a glue vine off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one's best?
I'm going to make mine blue and I'm going to call it mold. It's going to be a bluish green tint. It's going to be called mold wine.
Gross.
Mine's just going to be whiskey. Here it is. It's delicious. Try it.
Hold the vine.
Hold the vine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's glow wine, I think, is like what it translates to. Glow wine.
Huh.
Is that?
Glue vine. I don't know.
I had glue vine in Iceland.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is on fire now. I meant to ask you.
It's bananas. Yeah, we've been watching
As we're recording this, Iceland's on fire. The part that's,
Peninsula. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Were you there?
So we drove through it. We were going to stop, but my mom and I were like, we're kind of tired. So we drove to the hotel, but we did drive through it and stopped at a bunch of the sites, and it's beautiful, but we didn't stay there. And it's pretty crazy. It's a 4 kilometer fissure that the stuff is coming out of, which is fucking massive.
I think my doctor said I had that.
It's in yes. Hence the reason he wants a Splenda Red Bull glue vine.
Shove it in there. I was concerned because first and foremost, I feel like with the year you've had,
I feel like
Iceland blowing up and having earthquakes and
all of Iceland
things.
Did not blow up.
No, it's just shaking and spewing magma.
I was like,
I think they just got the date wrong. They're like, oh, we thought Amanda was going to be here.
Yeah, so it's an active representation of my 2023 faux show.
Going out with a bang. So, but no, I told Dale, I was like, I really hope Amanda got to go to this place before this happened. So, which
it's
sounds
so
like
sad.
You sort of did.
Kind of.
Yeah.
As long as nobody's hurt. Are people hurt?
I don't know.
Really
no, they're very,
hurt.
Very good about evacuating people. Like they've got their shit together over there, and everybody kind of just follows the rules because they know it's for the betterment of everybody. So
yeah,
it's opposite of America. So
yeah. I was gonna say too, like when you have active volcanoes, I would assume there is someone that is responsible for making sure, like, oh, it's going to probably explode.
Geologist.
We need volcano to not have guy. People around here. I would assume that is something that happens.
Anybody know
volcanoes
volcano
in
guy.
Your backyard?
Yeah.
Who here knows, who's got a good sense of when the volcano's going to go off? The volcano janitor.
Well, can you give us a geology lesson real, real quick? Because we're running over time. But is the entirety of Iceland...
Is on the tectonic plates. Yeah, there's a magma pool underneath it. That's where they get the heat, the geothermal heat and energy for their entire country.
You went to those fart springs.
Sure did. It was delicious. Yeah. It smelled like liquid ass. It was awful.
Oh.
Yeah, beautiful. Check it out.
Your Airbnb, Kyle, also
the
same thing?
We had to cancel it.
You had to cancel.
Yeah.
They were, they were like, is Amanda staying here?
Yeah. Wait, what did the guy message you again? What was the exact?
He said, it smells like sulfur.
Yeah.
The water smells like sulfur.
Do you want to bathe in fart smells? Yeah. And
if it's like, bad enough, you have to be warned about it.
Yeah.
You're probably like, take the advice.
Yeah.
Take the opportunity to cancel here. And try again.
And the worst part is they stayed in this Airbnb before and the water pressure was trash so bad that Kyle had to complain like it's a whisper in the shower. And now he's telling you the only water that you have, which was minimal to none, now smells like ass.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's like at my parents' house, a whisper
nice
of water.
Place, though, you know? If you're able it to just really stay nice. For like a day and not have to use any of the water, that'd
it's
be
really
great.
It's really cute.
Yeah, it's nice. It's got a private stream.
I blacked out drunk there.
You did.
Shower in the stream.
Yeah.
Well,
we're in the streams. That is what
get we some are. Mulled wine.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well, with that.
Well, Merry Christmas, it. Guys, from Merry Gotham Christmas. West to you.
Yeah. This is fun. We got to do actual fun little like get together parties and stuff. We actually didn't do totally plan to do stuff this year, and then apparently I don't know, you were patient zero in getting people sick.
Oh,
and,
you
like,
think? I think I got all of New York State sick. But I say we do something in January when life has calmed down. And if anything bad happens to me between then and now,
a new
just
year
uninvite
party.
Me. Just uninvite me, guys. Please uninvite me. The building will explode.
We'll zoom you in.
Yeah. We'll just be the new year, bringing in the new year. Yeah.
It's the launch
the
party.
4-kilometer fissure. Start spewing out magma.
Fantastic.
Call my doctor.
Call my proctologist.
You call in a prescription for me?
Not again.
I got my fishes.
Shouldn't have eaten that cheese.
Okay. Well.
Merry Christmas, everyone. On that note, go drink your old wine, watch Love Actually and the Star Wars Christmas special.
I'm not in that order.
Definitely that order. Okay.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.